Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors podcast. This is Justin Briel, and I'm here with Bill Cooper, Philip Vanderpool, and Isaac Pentecost from Woodhaven Custom Calls. Isaac, this is 25th anniversary, if I understand it correctly, for Woodhaven Calls. Tell us a little something about that.
Yes, sir. It's our 25th anniversary. Obviously, it's a really special year. My dad started the company out in 2000. Well, actually, he built turkey calls a lot longer than that, for like 40 years. He's been building turkey calls. And it was always a hobby. And then finally, man, he just quit his day job. And it's like, it's time to do this thing.
Yeah.
So, 99, we actually started, he started selling calls, you know, still as a hobby. But finally, you know, he got us an LLC, and then 2000 was our first year fully in business. It's always just been a slow grind. Finally, I think around 2018, around then, we got into Bass Pro. Things really started to grow, and now it's just, it's what it is today.
So you're a young man, Isaac. So how, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I am. I'm 18 years old.
You're 18 years old. December. So
did he say 18?
He said 18.
I can't even remember that.
18 minutes ago or 18 years ago?
Sure.
Oh man.
What was that, man?
So the company was already pretty established by the time you, I mean, really established by the time you remember. I was going to ask if you, like, you remember your dad stretching calls at the kitchen table or anything like that, or was it kind of up and running already by then?
So I don't have a ton of recollection of it being, like, actually at the house. It did start at the house.
Right.
So they were built in, like, the living room, the garage. My older brother, he's 25, so he remembers, obviously, 25th anniversary, he remembers kind of that coming up,
the early years.
I don't remember that as much, of course, but I do remember, like, after school they'd take me to the shop. That's what we call it, the shop.
I got you.
And they take me to the shop, and I was like, man, I just want to go home, because I didn't know what was going on. And now, I mean, of course, I work full time. You know, this is my future.
Yeah.
I love my job. I mean, the Lord blessed me to work in the hunting industry. That's all you can do. So
I was going to say, there's worse households to be raised in.
Absolutely. Yeah. We grew up, all of us. So I have three siblings.
Uh-huh.
All of us won the Grand National Calling Championship, the Polk's Division, growing up.
So wow.
And we all did that at single-digit ages, like 7, 8, 9 years old. So we grew up turkey calling. Like, it's in our blood, straight up.
I would say so. I got a 12-year-old at home. I'm going to have to send him over to your house to live for a little while and see if you can pick up on that.
Man, let him run with us for a spring. He'll be tuned
up. Yeah, we just need to just let him hang out. I think that's, like, some of it's osmosis. You just got to be in the area around you, and it'll pick up on it.
Absolutely.
Bill, can you imagine having four siblings win the Grand National Calling Championship?
I can't imagine having one.
Isn't that unreal?
I think that'd be awesome, but I'm pretty sure my wife would divorce me. She the constant sound of turkey calls just flying through the house. We'd have she'd have to stay at another house, get a motel or something all spring.
Well, I would just like to have seen Dad when all that took place. Did he had to get a bigger hat size?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, you got to be proud.
If you ever make it down to Woodhaven, what is so neat when you walk in there is all those trophies that they've got in there, you know.
Yes, sir.
And Mike's proud of his kids, and rightfully so, man. I've been raised right.
I figured that out very quickly down at the Legends of Outdoors last August. I was kind of hanging around, you know, visiting with whomever, and I heard Pentecost, heard Mike say, he was talking to three or four young men. He told them, you men, young men, get out in this crowd and find good men to talk to.
True.
Wow. I'd never heard a parent in my life say that.
Yeah.
But it touched you and it stuck with you.
Oh, it did. I'll never forget it.
That's awesome.
I've repeated it myself several times since.
Yes, sir.
Pretty special.
Well, there's a lot to that in how you're raised.
Absolutely. Well, I was just telling them a story about you, Justin, and the podcast we did about a year ago. most of what he talked about was his son.
Sure.
I mean, we could have talked about a lot of things, but I was so impressed because he was focused on that kid and getting him involved in the outdoors. And he's doing things, you know, doing great things. Yep. And I just love to see parents and kids together.
Yes, sir.
It's awesome.
It's huge.
Yeah. Hey, I know that's what you guys promote.
Yes, sir.
Big time.
So what kind of special stuff you guys got going for the 25th? You guys got some special calls coming out, or what do you guys got going this year?
Yeah, so we have 25 calls and displays. So they're not to be ran. I mean, I guess you could, but they're not to be ran. They're real special. They're numbered. They're numbered the years 2000 through 2025.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's those. And then we have a call called the Maple and Metal call. It's a maple cup, aluminum soundboard, glass surface. You get a Lux Striker, Hickory Striker. It's $250. There's only 250 of them ever to be produced.
Wow.
And then you get a knife with it and an entry into a one-of-one Rob Roberts gun. So that's kind of the specials we're
running. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a really cool deal we got going on.
Yeah. Adam Roberts, he puts together some cool looking guns.
Yeah, he does. He is a master. Like, really.
I love the distressed stuff that with this Cerakote that they do. Yeah. Where it kind of, you know, he's got different patterns and colors and stuff like that. It's really.
Yeah.
I pick out a different one, I think, every time that I want to put on my Benelli.
And then he sent some, like, really high quality pictures. And I was like, I know you did not take those pictures. Like, you sent somebody to do that.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
I got a couple. I got one. I was looking through there, and he's got one, like, pattern or whatever he calls unreliable. And, you know, it kind of looks like an old truck got all beat up. I'm like, well, heck, I already got a couple like that.
Yeah. Heck, yeah.
Sure.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness. That is pretty awesome. Well, Phil, I think you were telling me that there's one really special call made as well that's going to auction off or something.
Yeah, at the NWTF. Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, so there's 26 calls total. The year's 2000 through 2025. 2000 we kept at Woodhaven, you know, the family kept. Is it 2001 that's being auctioned off number at the NWTF? One. And then after Nashville, we'll probably auction off 2025 online so anyone can enter, because obviously this is like an NWTF exclusive. So to make it a fair chance. But the heavy hitter is probably going to be the one at the grand auction.
I think I heard somebody tell me there might be a guy walking around with a special check in his pocket.
I think from what I understood, Mike Pentecost said that he had a gentleman come up, said he had $30,000 that if that's what it took to buy
it. That's what it took.
Well, I know what the bidding's going to start at.
I'll just stay home.
The calls are truly one of a kind. Here's the thing I can tell you is Mike did every single one of these calls himself.
Hey, he's such a craftsman, and I've got one of the most unique calls they ever made, because everybody that was inducted into the Legends Hall of Fame, he gave them a personal call with our name on it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
gave me one as well.
I wonder if mine's worth $30,000. You know what? If it was, I wouldn't sell it.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't take anything for that call. I'm going to pass it down to our grandson at some point.
Yes, sir.
He already got my BB gun.
He already got you. That Daisy?
Yeah. Well, that is,
sure enough.
That is the neat thing with the craftsmanship and everything that goes into a lot of these turkey calls. I was talking with a friend of mine about it, and like we were talking with my son, we were getting him into hunting and stuff like that. I was like, man, I think I'm going to go, you know, get him a nice set of calls that he starts with, and, you know, it's something Dad gave him. And he's like, no, man, give him your calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, hold on. I mean, me and them calls got a connection.
Yep.
I've been running around with them same calls in my pocket for 10 years.
Sure.
Yeah, but you have no idea what they'll mean to that boy.
Oh,
you
know? I know.
I'm so envious of your situation, because when I, you know, growing up, my goodness, we didn't get the deer or turkey on any way because there wasn't any.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
You know, but my dad rabbit hunted and coon hunted and squirrel hunted, that sort of thing. But I don't have anything from my father.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing, you know.
Yes, sir.
And gosh, what would it mean to have a call, our calls, that he used for years and years and years?
Yeah.
So make sure you hang on to those things and pass them on.
Usually hang on to the calls. It's the strikers I keep losing.
Yeah.
Well, they made a lot of them.
Yeah, that's all right.
But that family stuff, and, you know, I don't have a lot of photos of my dad or everything, and I've worked with a lot of youth programs over the years, and boy, I've taught people. I ran a 100 apprentice school for the Missouri State chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation for 17 years, and you know, you had a captive audience for 3 days, man. And I loved teaching those kids, and even moms and dads, how to. We didn't have cell phones back then when we first started, but just bring a simple camera, you know. Take lots of photographs. I see people all the time snapping one photograph and think they got it covered, you know. You can always throw the bad ones out, but you know what? Even if it's a bad picture, it's the only one you got.
Yes,
it's
sir.
A keepsake, and it's a memory.
That's right.
But it's so easy today. It's just nuts for people not to pack a camera along and get those family memories.
Yeah. Well, you and I had to use Polaroid cameras back in our day.
I remember those days, man. You know? That's pretty wild. And, of course, I've sold hundreds, if not thousands, of photographs in my lifetime. And even with a pretty decent 35 millimeter, you didn't know what you were getting. You know,
you had
a general idea, but you sent it off to a processor, waited 2 weeks to get it back, and then you had to ship it. Pay to ship it to an editor, and then you're lucky if he was smart enough to send it back.
Well, I mean, it's just to show you how much things have changed now. I'm pretty certain every good deer, turkey, whatever hunting story starts with. So I was messing around on my phone.
Imagine that.
And I looked up, and there was a deer sitting there. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Well, it's so interesting. I got a new place to hunt on this year. Guys just called me out of the blue. I did some PR work for him years ago. And I'm still working 70 hours a week, and I got all these farms, and nobody's going to hunt on them, not even me. Just come help yourself, you know. And
Bill, do you need any help?
Yeah, if you want to carry my blind in and all this good stuff, you know.
Okay.
Fabulous place, but he showed me all around. I picked one spot, and I stayed there all season. But early in the season, I'd sit in the blind and I'm crossbow hunting, you know, and I'd see a deer coming. Talk about that phone. I'd pick the phone up. Well, it's 82 degrees. I'm not shooting a deer today, you know.
Oh, gosh.
But, boy, how things have progressed. But, Isaac, it's been so interesting to me as an old man to see all this happen. Remember, Phil, back in the 70s when things really took off? My gosh. And I shouldn't even tell a story in front of him, but I didn't get to turkey hunt until after I got out of college from the military. I was a park superintendent. Had a new wildlife area that just almost encircled that park. And I decided I'm going to go turkey hunting. So I went to Western Auto and bought an old Lynch one-sided box car.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
All right. I didn't know you were supposed to practice. So I just go out in the woods opening morning and kind of leaned up against a big old white oak tree there. And in the dark, I pulled my little flashlight out. My turkey call still in the box wrapped in cellophane, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's how you keep those notes fresh.
Yeah, you bet. So I pulled that thing out, and I'm reading the instructions. It says go yup, 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 and then set that call down for 30 minutes. So I scratched out three yup, and I swear before God, a turkey gobbled. He was a mile away. I'm watching the clock. That's the longest 30 minutes of my life. Scratched out three more yips, and he gobbled again. We did that all morning long. The turkey didn't move, and I didn't either. Actually, we did it for 5 days.
Hey, speaking of the Lynch, that was my very first turkey call as well. An old Lynch foolproof one-sided box.
Oh, yeah.
That was my very first turkey call.
Oh, man.
Lynch.
What story. Well, guys, we're going to take a short break here, but folks, please don't go away. We got some more exciting stuff to talk about, and Woodhaven Custom Calls. If you don't have one, get one.
Our forefathers gave us a Bill of Rights. One of those is the right to step in the front door of Pond Center, where the faint sound of eagles screeching from on high a bounding purple mountain's majesty browse the walls full of glorious firearms. It's hard not to shed a patriotic tear as your red, white, and blue blood becomes fortified by the sight of true freedom. Pond Center, located at 408 Highway 72 East in Rolla, Missouri. Or give us a call at 573-426-GUNS.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join to learn more and to join us today. Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and way of life. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
This is Dan from the White Buffalo Fly Shop, your gateway to Missouri's blue ribbon trout streams and world-class smallmouth water. Whether you're headed to Mill Creek, the Kern, or the Gasconade, we've got the flies, the gear, and the local know-how to help you fish with confidence. If you're looking to sharpen your casting skills, join one of our hands-on clinics. Or if you'd like to craft your own fly rod, build it with us in one of our rod building courses. You're always welcome in our fly tying nights to swap stories, share patterns, and get the latest hatch reports. White Buffalo Fly Shop is more than just a place to gear up. It's a hub for our local community. You'll find us at 605 North Pine Street in Rolla or online at whitebuffaloflyshop.com.
Hey everybody, this is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Heineman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Living Dream Outdoors podcast. This is Justin Briel. I'm here with Bill Cooper, Philip Vanderpool, and Isaac Pentecost from Woodhaven Calls. And we've been talking about turkey hunting and legacy and handing things down and a lot of talk about family. And Phil just shared a little story with us that was really nice about his father. And I'd like, Phil, if you would, please share it with the group.
Well, I'll tell you. Let's see. I think my mic's hanging down here a little bit low. There we go. Well, I'll tell you. I lost my daddy when he was 51 years old, and he's the reason I got into hunting. But when my dad passed, I ended up with his 16-gauge 1100 shotgun. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it between him and I, we had a lot of good hunts with that particular gun. Well, I had put it up and never had used it in 25 years. And we had the 25th year that I'd lost my dad. I thought, you know, it's time to clean the gun up, get it out there, and take it on a turkey hunt. And I just finished up two youth hunts there in my home state of Arkansas, there in the Ozarks, and took a couple kids. I had one day left, which was on Sunday, and it happened to be April the 16th, which was my daddy's birthday. And it fell on Easter Sunday, and I thought, my goodness, how fitting would it be to go out and take a turkey and honor your dad with the shotgun?
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I went out to yelp the one last time. We hadn't heard a turkey all morning. And I went out and I took the box call and I walked out. I always like to get out when I ain't hearing much, try to venture out a little bit and bring them and pull them back in. And I walked out there on the edge of that. Of course, we're in that mountainous country, and I yelped on that call as hard as I could, cutting. And I heard a turkey gobble, and it sounded like he was 40 miles away. And I sat there, and the wind had really started picking up. It was about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the day, and the wind was picking up. And this was my last opportunity. We were going to call it quits. And I just hit it again a couple more times. That son of a gun gobbled. He was halfway there.
Wow.
I ran back. I'm running a video camera. I had Colton Good with me running a video camera. That gobbler come in and played. I mean, he come in. The wind, it was blowing so hard, he couldn't hardly fan out. But he come right to the decoys, and I had the decoys set up at 8 steps. And it's one of my most memorable hunts. I felt like he was there with me.
Oh, I'm sure.
And one of the reasons I'm telling this is because I got to spend incredible time with Isaac getting his double Royal Grand Slam. And
wow,
the love and affection that I saw between him and his daddy on that last turkey hunt we were together in Montana, that's one of my favorite hunts and memories of all time, to watch them hugging, shed some tears.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was just amazing. And that brought that back to me to tell that about my dad. And it's, I don't think I'll ever top those two hunts. Those were two very special hunts for me.
I don't know how you would, but boy, I deeply appreciate you sharing this story, because we know there's thousands and thousands of people out there who've got very similar stories.
Same stories.
And we can all identify, because boy, our time on earth here is pretty short.
Yeah. The good Lord blesses us, man.
Oh, absolutely. And this Hunter Apprentice School, I used to tell the kids, you know what? We are probably the most lucky 1% of people on the whole face of the earth. You know,
absolutely.
When we look at all time for humanity, wow, yeah, lots of people have lived in some pretty tough, horrible conditions. Here we live in the United States of America. We can own firearms. And then we live in the great state of Missouri and Illinois and Arkansas and lots
Alabama.
Of others. Yeah.
He's Alabama.
And we get to hunt.
Yes, sir.
Some of us own farms. Some of us see deer and turkey every day of our lives,
that's
man.
Right.
That's a very small percentage of people in the world today.
I agree.
Yes, sir.
I can't think of anything else I'd rather do.
Oh, we're blessed. We're blessed.
Absolutely.
And we're all here for a reason. I mean, it's incredible.
Really is. And I know that you guys, of course, being in the outdoor industry, reduce that 1% to about, wow, 1 in a million.
Yes, sir.
That's right, I tell you. But, well, you know, the good thing about hunting, like what we do, there's always some good times out there, too, laughing and cutting up. And that's, and I know there's going to be some stories told here now.
Yeah.
I love it.
I am curious. Okay, so, like, well, I know what it is. But for maybe our guests don't know, you did a double Royal Grand Slam. So the regular Grand Slam is the four subspecies. Rio, Merriam, Osceola,
Eastern.
Yeah, the one we all hunt all the time.
Actually,
I forget that one. Explain what the Royal Double is.
Okay, so like you said, a Grand Slam is the four subspecies. A Royal would be if you threw a Gold's in the mix.
Gotcha.
A Gold's in Mexico. And so in the season of 23, a Royal Slam would be to have the four subspecies and the Gold's.
Right.
A Double Royal would be to have two of each.
Okay.
Which, that's all that's possible, because you can't kill any more than two Osceolas.
Right.
Period. You know, they're only in Florida. So, I kind of got out of turkey hunting for a while. I just got out of it. I mean, there's no reason. And then I got back into it. I don't know why, but a fire lit in me. And the end of 22, I went and killed a bird. And I was like, man, next year, I don't care what I got to do. I dropped out of school, like straight up, I homeschooled. I'm like, we are going to go kill every turkey in the U.S. if it's up to me. And I started off in South Florida. And, you know, knocked one out. And then the second Osceola, Philip almost screwed the whole thing up.
Oh, here we go.
Paul Campbell.
I'm loving it. Keep talking.
Paul Campbell. There you go. Paul Campbell, he's a regional director for the NWTF. Okay. And he set up this hunt for us. And he was like, man, I really want you guys to come down. He hadn't even met us yet, but he wanted us to come down. Long story short, they had it all planned out. We're at the hotel. It's one of those, like, cookie cutter. Like, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
They already had a tree picked out. Like, it's the whole nine. And then they set Philip on this tree for a second angle. It's already past goblin time. We're probably 5 or 10 minutes past. We've been there for an hour or two before daylight because, you know, we didn't want to, you know, run him off the roof. So.
Right.
Philip's under that tree, and the turkey gobbles. And I kid you not, it's in the same tree as Philip Vanderpool was sitting on.
He's right there.
Bark was falling on Philip.
And he wasn't very high either, was he?
No. And the worst.
Dodging droppings?
But the worst part, well, actually, I think it's the funniest part of the story, is Philip was on his phone prior to.
No, it was the spring on the camp.
No, Philip, don't lie on national television.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
And the light is just so bright. And the second that turkey gobbled, it just slowly dims. And the light turns off. I was like, man, he just freaked out under that tree. But about the season, long story short, we killed, I don't know, I think 13 turkeys that year.
Wow.
Five Easterns. You know, Easterns, yeah. You just got to. You know, they scratch that itch more than anything for me.
Nothing better than Eastern in the hard.
Hard goblin Eastern, strutting, spitting, and drumming. You can't beat it. Yeah. But, yeah, we did that all in a single season. That was, and like Philip said, well, my dad, he was there for every single kill. At the end, like Philip said, we had a special day in Montana. We killed one right off the roost. It was just a gorgeous morning. It's all divine intervention. It was all in his plan, and it was perfect. It was a great year.
It's what amazes me about that is if you look at national – numbers and success rates for people that turkey hunt, it's not very high. It's a pretty low number, and you killed 13 that year.
Yes, sir.
Which is awesome, and it's a great achievement. And to kind of put it like that's for a lot of people, that might be a lifetime.
Yeah,
that may be a lifetime of turkey hunting.
I don't like to brag about that number. It was just a statistic.
No, I mean it's a great accomplishment. Yeah. And it's, you know, you didn't do anything wrong or anything like that. It's a great accomplishment, but just. I think some people, you know, we look at it as guys that travel, and I bounce around a little bit, not near as much as you guys. I usually hunt 3 to 5 states a year.
Sure.
You know, so if I can, you know, kill a handful of birds, that's fantastic. To some people, that's crazy. You know, you're going out, you're doing this. But to guys like yourself, that's, hell, that might be a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's just work. It's just work. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I've met thousands and thousands of turkey hunters over the course of 55 or 60 years. I've only met one that claimed that he was so good at it that it got boring and he quit. And he was from St. James, Missouri. He was telling the truth. His name was Lyle Stabb. He used to run a greasy little old corner service station, you know. All I want to do is pump a little, very little gas and fish and hunt. He was a bachelor most of his life.
Okay. But,
one of the first turkey calls I ever bought after that Lynch box call, you know, was a slate call that he made. It had a cedar pot on it. And he'd go around the old schoolhouse, and I think he broke in a lot of them to get the slate, you know, and bust it up and make pots out of it. Well, I used to deliver stuff to him, and I was in there one time, and on a shelf among a lot of other things, car parts and everything else, was a turkey call, and that slate was about 6 inches around, maybe 8 inches.
Good Lord.
And the peg, you could barely get your hand around it.
Call them big gobblers.
That's exactly what I asked. I picked that thing up. I said, now you're going to tell me this is for giant gobblers? And I just knew that was coming. He said, why no? That's a pig call. I said, do what? He held that slate against his stomach. Gripped that big old peg in his hand, grinding on it, and grunted just like a pig.
Really?
For real, you know. But that's the guy that quit turkey hunting because it was too easy.
Oh, my God. That's the first for me.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolute first for me, but you'd have to know Lyle, you know. What a character, man. Well, I got to ask you, guys, in the last few minutes of program here, we've talked about some wonderful things, you know, 25th anniversary, that, wow, that double grand slam, Royal Slam.
Yes, sir.
Pretty incredible. Talked about family and all that sort of thing. Turkey hunt. We love it. We love it. We love it. Where do you guys see it going? Where do you see the company going?
Yes, sir. That's a great question. As far as the company, one thing we've always done is it's always been the Lord's will. Like, straight up, it's the Lord's plan. That's how it's going to be. You know, quality, most important thing, second to that, of course. Whatever goes out the door, it's going to be the best Woodhaven call you've ever had. It's going to be better than the last one. And even then, that's going to be the best call you've ever used. You see, that's kind of the goal. And quality, just sticking to the Lord's plan, that's always what Woodhaven's going to be, and that's going to be the future of Woodhaven. As far as turkey hunting, I think the way to just keep it around and keep it how it is to take kids hunting. That's my biggest thing, is to take a kid hunting and then show them the proper way to turkey hunt, you know, how to hold a gun, you know, when to call, not to overcall, soft call. He's hung up on that ridge, you're calling too much. Teaching them the right way to turkey hunt, and they're going to pass that down. And little things like that, just taking a kid hunting, they're going to learn to respect the animal. They're going to try to find ways to make the animal's habitat better, control burns, trapping, things like that. So I think just a simple thing like that, taking a kid hunting, it's huge.
And I think you go along with that, and that's fantastic. I completely agree. I think even if they don't become a outdoorsman for life, they at least had that experience. And, you know, years down the line, when they're making decisions, and whether that's big decisions or decisions on how they vote or what they support,
exactly,
they can remember that and, you know, have some appreciation from, you know, they may live in the city or something like that and they never had exposure to it, but they had that one experience with a turkey hunt or going fishing or something, and they appreciated the outdoors.
That's exactly right.
To where they could at least reflect back upon that. It may not be their lifelong passion, but they could. I tell my friends, you know, that, and they're, maybe their wives, they don't quite understand the hunting and stuff like that. I say, sure. Well, you don't have to understand it, but just respect it.
Right.
This That's is what right. we're passionate about. And people don't understand. And, you know, like you told the story with the gun, Phil, you know, a lot of people, well, it's just a gun. Well, no, they don't understand. They don't understand that connection that you have with certain items. I mean, in my gun case right now, I'd sell most of them. And probably the one that I would not give up is probably the oldest, most beat up gun in there. But that's sure. It was, I mean, a lot of connections, a lot of memories with that. It's a great thing.
Yeah, I think even just taking someone else out, like you said, they might not. I mean, you can't force someone to love something
no.
or have a passion for something. But like you said, they might respect it and at least just understand where we come from.
Yeah, it's another perspective.
Yeah.
When you take a kid hunting, and I've done several hunts and got several of them lined out for this spring. The one thing you want to do is make it fun and enjoyable. Like with Isaac here with these kids, my suggestion is put a call in their hand. Let them play with that call. Keep them and teach them about the outdoors. They may ask you what kind of tree that is or what kind of bird is that? What sound's that? Stuff we take for granted.
Right.
You
sure.
know, I call with my hunting and videography and with kids, I call it the E-I-E-I-O effect. Old MacDonald had a farm. You want to entertain, inspire, educate, inform often. That's something I come up
I'm
with.
I'm so impressed you remembered that, Phil Vanderpool. That is awesome.
Yeah, well, he had to pull awesome. His pant leg up. He had to roll
his leg. Yeah, he had to raise his wrist or something. I don't know how he did that.
Pretty awesome. But all of you guys know that a common theme in our society today is our youth of today. You know, kind of looking down on them. Well, you're looking at the wrong you. Find a young person that's going fishing, that's going hunting, that's going hiking or whatever. You know, oh boy. I don't even get me started on the news media, but in the outdoor industry, you ever hear anybody putting down an outdoor kid? Anybody in the outdoor industry?
I hope
you
not.
Ever hear that? Nope. Absolutely not. This is one of the most positive crowds on the face of the earth.
Yes, sir.
I agree.
That's how really it should be. Because we love our kids. We're doing all we can to get them into the outdoors. We want them to enjoy the things that we've been able to enjoy.
We want them to enjoy the hunting ritual, just like what we had. We want to continue that and only make it better for them.
Yes, yeah, sir. And I love today with all the programs and the attitudes and what's being taught. Because I grew up in a time, loved my dad to death. I lost him when he was 49 years old. He was a World War II veteran. And wow. But dad was a kind of a rough, tough old farmer. And he didn't personally teach us a lot. We were with him a lot. And if you learn something from dad, you learn from observation.
Yep.
But he did things right. And it was very particular. He worked with me a little bit on shooting skills. He spent 13 weeks on a rifle range in World War II. Now, I was an officer that went to Vietnam. I spent 4 days on a rifle range as opposed to 13. So my dad was death on detail. And, buddy, you better not misuse a weapon.
Oh, I know that.
I lost mine for 6 months one time because I left it sitting outside.
Yeah.
You know, and man, that was the longest 6 months of my life. But I never did that again.
And Phil, with what you were talking with the kid, one thing I had to learn, and I learned this with my son. I haven't done a lot of hunt with kids and stuff like that. I do enjoy, I like taking new people out hunting, especially turkey hunting, because especially if they've deer hunted, only deer hunted or something like that, it's completely different. But one thing I had to learn with my kid was, in my mind, I had this played out, like, we have to get him a deer, we have to do this, and all these different things. And I made it to a point, I started him way too young, trying to do it, and he wasn't into it. And I was beating myself up. I wasn't enjoying it. And I got to a point where it's like, you know what? He's just happy to get out. Yeah. Let's just drive 5 minutes down the road and go hunt some squirrels. And just let them run around in the woods. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you make a noise, if you break a twig. Like, who cares? And
make it fun and enjoyable for them. That's the key.
Oh, exactly. I got to tell Isaac his story. I had a little stepson one time. At the time, he's 6 or 7 years old and hyperactive, man. Yeah. I mean, this kid just turning flips all the time. So I want to take him turkey hunting. You know, well, obviously had to have a blind. Yeah. And the setup, it was a cloudy, kind of misty, rainy morning. Nothing gobbled. I thought, oh, boy. You know, he took a pocket full of little toys and everything. He crawled all over that blind, played with every stick, rock, bug.
Yep.
And I was calling once just every 20 minutes or so, and I fell about half asleep, looked up. Here's a big gobbler coming across the field. I had to drag him out of the corner and get him back up in his seat. Got his little 20-gauge, got his up on his huge stick. Gobbler's still coming, man. And didn't even have to call again. He hit 30 yards, he hit 25, he hit 20, he hit 15. And I got his little gun cocked back, you know, I said, lean in that gun, you know how to do it, you know. Shoot him when you're ready. He come down on that shotgun, everything looked perfect, and he sneezed.
Oh, no.
He cried like a baby, man.
Oh, I'll bet.
He went home and told his mom, I blew a big gobbler away. Boy, one of my favorite all-time stories.
Big gobbler away.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, I hate to wrap up a phone program like this, but you know what? Philip Vanderpool, spring turkey season's coming.
Oh, buddy, I am so excited, and we've got so many good hunts lined out.
I bet, man. Well, close us out with one really good turkey hunting tip.
Yeah, a good turkey hunting tip. Well, obviously, we've probably done covered that, but take a kid hunting, make it enjoyable for them, and put a call, whether you're a deer or turkey or whatever it is, put a call in their hand and teach them a little bit how to use it.
Absolutely.
That would be my turkey tip of the day.
Well, I've never heard that one as a turkey hunting tip, but that's awesome.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, we are Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast, and all of us sitting here around the little table today, we are living our outdoor dreams.
I don't know how
they could be any better.
We want
to encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your outdoor dreams as well. I'm Bill Cooper.
People love a good mustache. People also love a good firearm. The fine people down at Pond Center like both. They have the largest selections of firearms in the area, and with a friendly, knowledgeable staff of hombres to help you pick the gun that's right for you, you could end up riding into the sunset with a gun you love. Find them at pc72guns.com, on shelf, in store, online, or give them a call at 573-426-GUNS. That's Pond Center. Guns welcome. Mustache appreciated.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.